Well, Chandler Church, it was on October 1st, 1932, at Wrigley Field in Chicago, where Babe Ruth did something absolutely improbable. In a game where the batters only successfully hit the ball approximately 25% of the time, and rarely are those ever out-of-the-park home runs, it seems that Yankees batter Babe Ruth apparently called, predicted, and prophesied his shot. With the score tied 4-4 in the fifth inning of Game 3, he took strike one from Cubs pitcher Charlie Root. And as the Cubs players heckled and insulted Babe Ruth while he was at the plate, making gestures pertaining to his weight and size and girth, he then took his right hand, pointing out to center field with two fingers, and then repeated the gesture after taking strike two. Charlie Root's very next pitch was a curveball that the left-handed legend then crushed 440 feet to straightaway center field. The New York Yankees won the game 7-5, and the next day finished off Elder Marcano's, he's not here today, Chicago Cubs 13-6, and swept them to win the World Series. As amazing as it may seem, however, Chandler Church, being done by Babe Ruth, I would submit to you today that nearly 2,000 years ago, Jesus of Nazareth, the self-proclaimed Savior and Messiah of the world, called, predicted, and prophesied his shot as well. That's right, Chandler Church. Three times it was that Jesus predicted his improbable death, burial, and resurrections. Three separate occasions. The first we find in Matthew 16, verse 21, where the Bible speaks to us and says that from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, that he must suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, teachers of the law, that he must be killed, and on the third day he would be raised to life. Prediction number two came in Mark chapter 9, verse 30 through 32. It is quite remarkable. The Bible tells us that they went on from there and passed through Galilee, and he did not want anyone to know, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. But when he is killed, after 3 days, he will what, church? He will rise again." Prediction, prophecy number three comes in Matthew 20, verses 17 through 19. And the Bible tells us that now, as Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took his 12 disciples aside and said to them, "Look, guys, we're going up to the city, and there the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death. They will turn him over to the Gentiles to be mocked, to be flogged, and to be crucified." Look how specific he gets. "But on the third day he will be what, church? Raised again to life." Not too unlike Babe Ruth's prediction. Just as Jesus said, at the end of his ministry, he was in fact crucified, buried, and more improbable than any hit or any home run, Jesus Christ rose again. Can you say amen? However, these instances, Chandler Church, that I have just shown and expressed to you regarding the predictions of Jesus Christ pertaining to his death, burial, and resurrections, are not ones that typically most of you recall or remember or celebrate. You see, when we look back on the life of Babe Ruth, very few of us recall, remember, or celebrate October 1st, 1932. We do, however, recognize, celebrate, and remember the life of Babe Ruth. And similarly, I would suggest to us today, Chandler Church, while I would never, ever, ever deter nor demean anyone for focusing on the resurrection as specifically a time or date, I would submit to us today that the celebration of Jesus Christ's resurrection should not be relegated to one day alone. Nor was it ever intended to by the Bible writers. You know, maybe some of your experience is like mine, that before I became a Seventh-day Adventist, my family would probably go to church once, twice, maybe three times a year. We would celebrate the resurrection, and then after celebrating the resurrection with eggs or bunnies or candy or gum or bread, we would go back to our everyday secular lives, rarely thinking about, meditating on, or focusing our lives around Jesus. However, just as we don't celebrate October 1, 1932, as the cold shot day, but rather Babe Ruth's life as a whole, I wish to submit to us today that when we celebrate the resurrection, and we should celebrate not only the event, but more importantly, the person as his process is unfolding in our lives. Are you with me today? That those of us who claim the name of Jesus while also rejoicing in the resurrection, we should have Easter every day. And the life that we lead should be led in experiencing the resurrection right here and right now, not simply as it relates to Earth's history 2,000 years ago. You see, Chandler Church, the Bible does not give us an imperative anywhere to celebrate the resurrection, but rather the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 6 and verse 4 that baptism is the symbol God has given us to celebrate Jesus Christ's departure from the grave. You see, in Romans 6, verse 4, it says, "For you and I who have faith in Jesus, we therefore are buried with him by," what's that word? "Baptism into death." That just as Jesus Christ was raised up from the where, everyone? The dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in what, everyone? Newness of life. You see, Chandler Church, when the Apostle Paul reflected on the resurrection and what it meant for all of us, he understood that the resurrection was, in fact, a microcosm of what was to take place in the life of each and every believer, as well as our world's history coming to a close. And so it was that the Apostle Paul, writing to the church of our day and history, he called Jesus, in accordance with the Jewish festival, the first fruits. What word did I use? The first fruits of what God was getting ready to do in the world. The resurrection was just the beginning, not the end. And so it is in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 23, Paul says that the Messiah was the first fruits. And after this, those who belong to the Messiah at his arrival. Now check this out. As Seventh-day Adventists, we quite often focus on that very near arrival of Jesus Christ, don't we? We think about his second coming and the resurrection. However, it may be too often, Chandler Church, that we focus on the event and the time rather than the person that it points to and the one who empowers it all to take place. But that Chandler Church, that Seventh-day Adventist church, was never Jesus Christ's intention for us. And in order to illustrate that, sadly, Jesus had to allow one of his very best friends to die. Most of you know that amazing biblical narrative in John chapter 11, the story of Jesus' good friend Lazarus rising from the grave. We know that story. It's one that eventually has a happy ending, but it did not start that way. The Bible tells us in John chapter 11, verses 17, that word came to Jesus that his friend Lazarus had died. And so Jesus tarried a little while after hearing that news. And once that news came to Jesus, after a few days, he started off to meet with the family of his dearly departed friend Lazarus. The Bible tells us in John 11, 17, that on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and to Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. But when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, Martha went out to meet him while Mary stayed at home. "Lord, Martha said to Jesus, "If you would have been here, my brother would not have died. But I know now, I know, that now even God will give to you whatever it was that you asked." And so it was, Chandler Church, that Martha was upset with Jesus. Martha was furious with Jesus because Jesus had not done what she wanted, when she wanted, how she wanted, according to her understanding of Jesus' teaching. So in an attempt to comfort her, to console her, he tells her this. He says, "Martha, Martha, I understand you're upset. I understand you're sad. I understand you're discouraged. But Martha, let me tell you this. I promise you, I've given you my word. Your brother will rise again." But now, Martha replies to the Lord Jesus, "Jesus, I understand what you've taught. I understand the Bible studies that I've done. I understand, Jesus, the state of the dead. I know, Jesus, the 28 fundamental doctrines of the Chandler Seventh-day Adventist Church. However, I know, Jesus, that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. But that doesn't help me right now." And so Jesus, attempting to correct, to instruct, to enhance Martha's understanding of who he was, what he is, and what he means to all of us, Jesus says something profound as it relates to Easter Sunday. Jesus says this to them and to all of us in the here and now. He says, "Martha, despite what you've studied and you think you know and understand, I am the resurrection. I am life itself. And he who believes in me, they will live, even though they may die." Hallelujah, and thank God for Jesus Christ, our Savior. You know, I just speak to the men here for a moment, men's ministry minute in the sermon. Men, I need to talk to you. I need to let you know it's almost here. The fight that everybody on the planet wants to see, the fight that everybody who partakes in pugilistic events wants to take part of, it is almost signed on the dotted line. Floyd Mayweather versus Conor McGregor, the undefeated defensive specialist versus the electric Irish knockout artist. And everyone who has a TV or radio, some of the wives out there are saying, "Pastor Shane, is this not something we should believe?" Ladies, if they have a TV, they know about the fight. Trust me, they know. And it's almost signed on the dotted line. It's almost coming to pass. And as the event draws nearer and nearer, all the reporters are asking Conor McGregor, "Conor, do you really think you can beat Floyd Mayweather in a boxing match?" And just a few weeks ago, Conor McGregor said something that caught this pastor's attention. He said, "Mark my words." He looked at the reporters in the face. "Mark my words. I am going to shock the world. I am boxing." Understand this. This is very similar to Jesus' sentiment. That Jesus is bigger than a specific time. Jesus is bigger than a specific event. Jesus is bigger than a specific set of circumstances or situations. Jesus Christ is the resurrection. Can you say amen? Jesus is a right now resurrection for all of us who are choosing to take part and place in God's great plan of salvation. You see, for all of us who are taking part of that plan, we know that before we came to Jesus Christ, we were sinners not saved by grace, but we were sinners in Satan's kingdom. And so it was we believed on the Lord Jesus and the propitiation for our sins that he provided. And by faith, we grasp hold of what Jesus did for us. And we say, "We will not let you go until you bless us." And then still we're holding on for dear eternal life. And as we hold on to Jesus Christ, church, our old ways, our old thoughts, our old habits, our old man is crucified with Jesus Christ and buried slowly but surely with him in the grave. Slowly but surely, as we come out of that grave, a new person in the kingdom of God's Son emerges. A person that is covered by Jesus Christ's righteousness, imparted and imputed. Hallelujah. Great news. But this is why, Chandler Church. This is why Seventh-day Adventist denomination. This is why Jesus gives our perfectly thought out Second Advent systematic theology problems in Luke chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. Because there, the Pharisees, the readers of the Bible and the religious leaders of the day, they came to Jesus and they came with a question and they said, Jesus, tell us the date and tell us the time of your second coming. So Jesus says this. He says, the kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation. The kingdom of God does not come with specifically your waiting or your watching. Nor will people say, here it is or there it is, because Jesus says, not Shane, first and foremost, the kingdom of God comes within you. The resurrection is right now. The resurrection is right now. And for all of us who want to allow Jesus Christ into our hearts and our lives, while probation is still open, Jesus is changing hearts and lives. Can you say amen? That second coming of Jesus, yes, it will be literal. Yes, it will be audible. Yes, everyone on the earth will see it. Yes, it will be the climactic event in earth's history. But I assure you here today, if that kingdom does not first come to your heart, you will not be on the right side of history when Jesus Christ comes. He is the resurrection. He is the way, the truth, and the eternal life. Can you say amen today? The Seventh-day Adventists, our prophetic interpretation, our understanding, it is suggested that since 1844, the investigative judgment which precedes the second coming and the resurrection is currently underway right now. But all too often, church, when we look at the resurrection and we look at the second coming and we look at the judgment, we look at them as times and events as opposed to a person's process that is unfolding in our lives. And consequently, many of us have lived our lives in fear of the judgment, haven't we? But I would submit to us today, friends, that it is not God's intention for us to be in fear of the judgment. You know, sometimes I've been in fear of the judgment, and it's not because of God's promises to us, but I've been in fear of the judgment because when I think of judgment, I think of Judge Judy Shineland. You know what I'm talking about today, right, church? Don't you believe that television promo ad on the screen where she's smiling? It is not like that on the show. I believe that the greatest deterrent of crime in the 20th century is not the war on drugs, SWAT teams, or surveillance drones. It is Judge Judy. Can you say amen? Nobody wants to be judged by Judge Judy. Judge Judy is not messing with anybody. Amen? In Judge Judy's court, everybody's guilty. The plaintiff, the defendant, the bailiff, the cameraman. If you're in there, Judy's going to make you feel like a terrible person for bringing everybody there on that day. There's times where I watch the show and I end it with cold sweats like, Lord, don't let me do anything to get in trouble and be on Judy's show. But friends of mine, is God's judgment like Judy's? Or have we missed the point like Martha? Focusing on times and events and dates rather than a person's process that is unfolding in our life, a process of grace and love and compassion. You see, Jesus wanted us to be sure that we understood the judgment is more than a time or an event, but a process that He is undertaking in your life as He loves you. And so it is in John chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, Jesus says, as it pertains to the judgment, the Father judges no man, but the Father has committed all judgment to who, everyone? The Son. The Son. that all men should honor the Son in the same capacity and fervency that they honor the Father. For he that honoreth not the Son honors not the Father who has sent him. How good is the good news that Jesus, not Judy, is judging us. Can you say amen today? And the judge who judges us in the judgment before the resurrection, he loves us, he cares for us, he sympathizes for us, he died for us. That is our judge. Hallelujah. The judgment isn't a time or a date. It's a person. It's a process that's unfolding in our lives. And that person loves you with all of his heart, all of his soul, and all of his life. Our best friend is our judge. Our best friend is the resurrection. Our best friend is eternal life. And eternal life is taking place not only in the hereafter to come, but as those who receive Jesus and live life more abundantly, eternal life is taking place today, right here, in the here and now. Can you say amen? Now, if that is true, however, it would mean that God himself exists both in and out of time. And in order to convey that, Jesus had to teach that to the Pharisees and the Sadducees in Matthew chapter 22, verses 23 through 33. Some of you Bible scholars out there know that extraordinarily complex passage in Scripture, where the Sadducees came to Jesus with a very tough question pertaining to the resurrection that we will all be in. The Sadducees, trying to trick and trap Jesus, they came to him and said, "Lord Jesus, we've got a question for you, sir. You say there is a resurrection, but let me give you a hypothetical question, Jesus. Imagine there's a woman, and she gets married, and her husband dies, and her brother takes care over her. And that brother dies, and then the next brother dies, and the next, until seven brothers who all had married her died." This is how stumped the pastor feels. People come to me with these questions. Oh. Who, Jesus, is going to be her husband in the resurrection? And so Jesus looks at the hypothetical question that they present to him, and he says, "You do err because you don't know the Scriptures or the power of God." And Jesus, he tells them something about God that's profound, deep, and difficult for us to grasp or understand. Jesus shows them that God is in time and outside of time, but God himself is the resurrection itself. And so Jesus says to those Sadducees, who only accept the first five books of the Bible. They did not accept the minor prophets. He says, and he relates and philosophizes from the only books that they would accept. He says, "Have you not read what the Bible says? For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but like the angels of God." Elder Williams, we praise Jesus all day long in heaven. It's a big, wonderful concert and party. They're like the angels. Angels in heaven. "But concerning the resurrection of the dead, which you doubt, which is why you ask me the question, have you not read from the only five books that you would accept and understand that God spoke to Israel? He spoke to his people saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God," Jesus concludes, "is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living." How cool is Jesus? Jesus is talking about three dead people that are not in heaven right now, but sleeping in the grave. And so Jesus, he does profound philosophy, stating that if there is no resurrection, why would God call himself the God of people who go down into nothing? But because God, who is Jesus, and Jesus, who is the resurrection, called them by name, it affirms that they will live again. Because the resurrection himself has affirmed that he is their God. Hallelujah. And it affirms for us today, Chandler Church, that the resurrection is not only something future, but for those who had and those who right now cling to Jesus Christ's promise in the present, it is something that we are all taking part of. It affirms for us that our God exists in the past. He exists in the present. He exists in the future. And as he does, his promises are reality to us right here and right now. Do you believe it today, church? In fact, in the final book of the Bible, the one we read and love so much, the book of Revelation, it bears that affirmation out to us as we see the heavenly throne of intelligences around God's throne, singing praise and adoration and worship to God. And they say this about the Lord that we love and we serve. They say, he's holy, 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 the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come simultaneously all at once. Resurrection is right now. Right now, Jesus can fix that marriage. Right now, Jesus can fix those finances. Right now, Jesus can cure you from drugs. Right now, Jesus can heal you from pornography. Right now, Jesus can save your children. Right now, God can do for you above and beyond what you can think or imagine or hope or pray. The resurrection is right now. I am the resurrection, Martha. 4 days, 4 months, 4 years, 4,000. When I say come forth, it is come forth. God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God is not the God of dead, cold, unwarm churches. God is the God of the living, where we have a little sway in our song. It's God. Making the mummies dance right now. Right now. Right now. So it is that the resurrection, although we see it happen 2,000 years ago, although he was and is to come, it's taking place right now. Our God is calling people because they place their trust in him to come forth right now. The judgment is right now, as it was in the days of Noah, right now. For all of us who place our faith in Jesus, right now, Jesus, he saves, he transforms, and he changes lives. Do you believe it today? If the resurrection says that he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, what does the resurrection say about you? Does he only see you on holidays? Does he only hear from you on Saturdays? Does he know your name? And do you know his? Because he's more than a time, he's more than a date, he's more than an event, he's more than a circumstance or a situation. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the Lion and the Lamb. He is, according to himself, the living one who was dead, but behold, he is alive now and forevermore. Will you, Chandler Church, choose to live for him, not just tomorrow on Easter Sunday, but have Easter every day, and to take part in the right now resurrection?